A Little Christmas Chaos by Wonky Elk, read by Cookie Mom 6067. Well, that was a sequence of events. John gazed out across the floor, which was lined with a breadcrumb trail of dismembered turkey pieces, tangled nets of richly embroidered tablecloth, still periodically disgorging the last few people who had been trapped in them during all the ruckus. The dramatically sprawled body of the oversized Christmas tree, branches splayed angrily and decorations all askew, and those few presents which hadn't been rescued and now sat about, all gloomy and discarded and smoldering at the edges. He opened his mouth to reply to Rodney just as a small lump of stuffing plopped down from its perch on the ceiling and landed directly on his tongue. It was lightly dusty, but still with enough of that particular savory Christmas tang from his best childhood memories that he honestly didn't mind. At this point, he'd take what he could get. You can't be seriously planning to have that many candles. They'll be very carefully placed and secured, Rodney. I think a set of grown adults who've survived in Pegasus this long can be trusted around a few open flames. And in the unlikely event of an issue, the fire suppression system is impeccable, as you should be more than aware. Rodney thought that a rather cheap shot. He'd only set himself on fire 3 times in his many years, which was to say, barely at all. But he didn't want to waste any more time arguing with Elizabeth over irrelevancies. The only truly important part of Christmas was the food, and that was shaping up to be exceptional this year. Tinned and frozen goods from Earth, the best fresh ingredients from Pegasus, a generous restock of chocolate, and the comfort of knowing that the Marines currently on kitchen rotation were the absolute best chefs of the bunch, a fact which Rodney doubted was a coincidence. There would have been a wholesale mutiny if Jawbreaker Barker, named for his pies rather than his punches, or that one Marine who treated vegetables like hazardous materials which had to be rendered harmless by boiling them for 3 days straight, had had charge of the feast, and Rodney would have led the revolt personally. The candles still bothered him, but he had actual work to do, and so he left the fussing over decorations, atmosphere, and cultural sensitivity to the Christmas committee and went off to perform his regularly scheduled miracle working. Santa only had to navigate small challenges of space, time, and the perennial issue of airborne and alarmingly accelerated reindeer excrement. Rodney had real problems to deal with. Huh. Now that isn't half bad. The cheer subsection of the Christmas committee, headed by Lara and Raddick, had liberally interpreted their brief to include the production of the finest punch that ever stirred a party into vibrant, swelling life and belted out carols. It had taken time, care, and much experimentation, strictly on downtime, of course. But they felt the results were a triumph, or at least as much of a triumph as it could be given the strict limitations on alcohol strength. It's pleasant enough, Laura allowed, though I would prefer just a little more kick myself. The cheer committee nodded in solemn and united agreement. In principle, of course, they agreed that absolutely hosed was not the ideal state for a large proportion of the expedition to be in at any one time, Christmas or not. But that didn't stop them from feeling that the punch could do with being just a smidgen merrier for morale purposes, which was why each of them, separately, decided to add just the tiniest amount of extra cheer to the punch. Whether it was the sheer quantity of tiny additions which was responsible for events unfolding as they did, or the fact that at least some of it was the new and untested wine they had received from Bacchia, their latest allies, all very pleasant on the whole, but incredibly serious about their drink, was open to debate. But that was much later. No one was in a fit state for debating, or in some cases, moving, for quite some time after events. In retrospect, it was easy to pinpoint all the reasons why this had been a terrible idea. But it wasn't the first time that the Atlanteans had taken live animals in trade, They had simply either traded them on again immediately to allies who could take care of them, or left them with the Athosians. And these particular live animals looked so very like reindeer, down to the fluffy white bibs and the melting brown eyes, that it seemed like the universe itself was giving them a nudge and saying, "Oh, go on, it's Christmas." And goodness knows they could all do with a little festive magic to get them through another hard year of losses and fighting, and still no end to the wraith in sight. They had kept things between the few of them needed for the surprise, arranging pickup of the reindeer for the day itself, while Lorne and Chuck collaborated on a very respectable sleigh. Reins were improvised, bells were acquired, of the very jingliest, and the logistics of the whole operation were minutely worked out, even down to the procurement of heavy-duty gloves, mops, and shovels, should any of the reindeer opt to be less than magical all over Atlantis's quarters. In all fairness, on any other Christmas, it might well have worked exactly as intended. But this wasn't any other Christmas. This wasn't just any Christmas. This was the Christmas on which John Shepherd was finally going to screw his courage to the sticking place, throw all his accumulated pining out the airlock, and tell Rodney McKay exactly how he felt about him. "Rodney, we need to talk." Too ominous. "I've been having these feelings." "Ugh, no." "Rodney, take me now." It had the virtue of directness, though John couldn't help but feel that, for the full effect, he needed to rip his shirt open and pant invitingly, which might be a little much to open with, especially when Rodney would just be expecting a Merry Christmas and a pair of novelty socks. Maybe he'd just play it by ear. Christmas morning dawned unnoticed as far as Rodney was concerned. He was more focused on wrestling with the sort of potentially catastrophic system failure which was inherent to 10,000-year-old operating systems, however solidly built. For all of the discoveries they had made, it sometimes felt like life was an ongoing grind of desperately plugging hole after life-threatening hole until the very last one was stopped, and then watching a new one pop right open with a wave and a malicious little grin. But Rodney was a genius, after all, and moreover so used to the system by now that he had literally patched up the previous major emergency in his sleep and had no memory of it, besides Zelenka remarking afterwards that he had been unusually mellow during the whole affair and spent most of the time making cryptic remarks about penguins. Atlantis having been saved once again from disaster, Rodney and his frazzled team of scientists wandered down to the mess for a late breakfast and discovered that late was a massive underestimate and that preparations were already underway for Christmas dinner. The tables had been arranged into long, friendly groupings with abundant arrangements of greenery in the center of each. There was one tall, majestic candle to each bundle of leaves and berries, and more arranged about the room, so that when the lights dimmed a little, the effect would be of a cozy winter evening, softly and enchantingly lit by the candlelight and the sparkly fairy lights on the enormous tree which loomed, a little menacingly, in Rodney's opinion, in the corner. It had been decorated with whatever was available, so that the effect was as if one person had emptied a drawer full of appalling tat all over it, while another had gone outside and scraped up all of the nature they could, spray-painted it silver, and loaded up the branches. Still, there was a nice array of enticingly wrapped presents under the tree, bursting with promise, albeit the sort which danced merrily in the imagination before resolving itself, disappointingly, into aftershave, or some misshapen object which boggled the mind as to its possible reason for existence. More importantly, the food was being brought out, and Rodney was not the only one who brightened considerably at the sight. Several huge and glistening turkeys, whole salmon and cod, a vast roast beast of indeterminate origin and fragrant scent, plus one quite magnificent ham, which appeared to have rolled in a vat of honey and had a ball doing so, were rolled out to the general appreciation. The accompanying vegetables were not quite so eagerly gazed after, but they looked fresh and fat and suitably buttered, so Rodney was fully on board. There was bread and stuffing and potatoes and, yes, okay, he was getting into the Christmas spirit with a will now. When he turned to find that Shepherd had arrived, a little ahead of Taylor and Ronan, who were admiring the tree, or making sly remarks about it and giggling, Rodney felt his face almost splitting open in a smile, which contained pretty much all the goodwill he was capable of containing. Pretty good spread, huh? And just in time, because I don't mind telling you that I am starving. Rodney had expected a friendly jab at that, but Shepherd just grinned back at him with an odd, glowy softness at the edges. Must be the candlelight. Yeah, I heard about the crisis. Sorry you had to spend Christmas Day in the lab. Rodney blinked, a little thrown, but also rather warmed by this unexpected sympathy. Oh, well, yes, I suppose, though I can't say I minded that much. I grabbed a snack or two, and it saved me bumping into the wandering carol singers who'd been plaguing the place with their off-key renditions of the only three carols they can even half remember. Ah, yes, courtesy of the cheer committee. They really have been very dedicated to their cause. They tried to get us to wear floppy red hats and fake beards. Ronan slapped the pair of them heartily on the back as he eyed the table approvingly. I already have a beard. Seemed kind of weird to put on a crappier one. Taylor greeted them softly. I did try the beard on, but it was itchy and too warm, and seemed generally inconvenient for the purposes of eating, and talking, and breathing, so I have repurposed it as a hunting lure. Land squid can be lured very effectively with small furry objects. Rodney shuddered involuntarily at the thought of land squid. But the soothing sight of turkey and stuffing eased the pain. And potatoes like small mountains in fragrant rosemary and grease, along with what looked like proper gravy, not just water with a sprinkle of brown in it. Rodney felt a softness attacking his own smile as he glanced round at Ronan and Taylor and Shepherd, which had nothing to do with candles. The company of his very best friends. And food, which knew the meaning of the word robust. Yep, this was Rodney's kind of Christmas. They should have waited until after everyone had eaten. They should have listened to those distant second thoughts and not have pulled the stunt at all. But the punch had already done the rounds at lunch, and they had put so much work into things already. It would have been criminal to waste all that effort and Christmas spirit. And wouldn't it be far more festive to eat with Santa Claus himself and his whole entourage? So in the end, the sleigh was pulled into the mess by eight grumpy, not reindeer, at just precisely the wrong time, after everyone had drunk a hearty, glass-draining toast to the Christmas feast, but before they'd actually begun to dig in. From there on in, things got fuzzy. From discussions and much testing later, it seemed that three glasses of the cheer committee's slightly too special punch was enough, in most people, to lead to erratic behavior, slurred speech, slurred brains, potential hallucinations, emotional overload, and a markedly increased tendency to sing O Holy Night in the style of ABBA. It also happened to be the case that the toast at dinner was glass number three for a lot of those present. The effect of Santa Claus casually arriving, complete with sleigh, reindeer, and a rich, deep ho-ho-ho on a crowd largely rendered more than a little irrational and overwhelmed, was not one of calm enjoyment or pleasant appreciation of their colleagues' efforts, but a mixture of awe, shock, absolute delight, and outright panic. Santa was mobbed. The reindeer, terrified, broke free from their reins and proceeded to show off their keen grasp of the word stampede, at which point chaos, having poked its head in to take an idle glance at the fun, decided to crash the party entirely, and the candles toppled over almost all at once. It really was fortunate that Atlantis's fire suppression system was as good as it was, or there would have been a whole lot more roast beast on offer at the table. John, having not wanted to make his declaration to Rodney with a clouded mind, was only on his first glass of punch, so he was more lucid than most. Unfortunately, given the trampling, screaming food fights, arguments over whether they had been good enough for a bicycle that year and fighting over Santa's lap, which was erupting around them, this didn't give him much of an advantage. Just enough to grab Rodney, who was mournfully chasing a reindeer for the turkey leg it was stealing, pull him under the calmest table and keep him safe from the turbulence around them. He would have rescued Ronan and Taylor too, but they apparently hit at least three glasses, probably more, and were two of the most enthusiastic participants. Okay, what's happening? Did we somehow get the Christmas special version of Armageddon? John slung his arm around Rodney to calm him down, feeling both gratified and smug when it did. I think it'll burn itself out if we give it a little time. And if that was the real Santa, then all I can say is he looks a hell of a lot like Lorne with a pillow stuffed up his shirt. A tablecloth of hooves raced past their table, hotly pursued by Ronan. Somewhere in a corner, there began a muddled rendition of the 12 Days of Christmas, in the wrong order, and with far too many swans. Rodney pressed closer against John, who was more than happy to accommodate him. Here, look. I managed to grab a slice of turkey and a cranberry. Rodney lit up like, well, not like a Christmas tree, because that was currently being dragged about the floor by a set of shirtless Atlanteans who had drunk even more punch than the rest and were currently deep into a group hallucination, which was unfathomable to the outside eye, but apparently quite a lot of fun. Thanks, Shepherd. The turkey vanished in seconds. Oh, sorry. Did you want to share? John gazed at the solitary cranberry which remained and raised an eyebrow. Are you seriously proposing to split that? Rodney shrugged and gave him a sheepish, then mischievous grin. You should see what I can do with atoms. John laughed, more because of the loopiness of the situation than the quality of the joke, and impulsively raised Rodney's hand with the cranberry in it to his mouth. He paused, holding it in front of his lips, trying to gauge the expression on Rodney's face, the sudden stillness in his body. John took a breath and took a chance. Want to come here and split it with me then? The words weren't as light as he'd intended, breaking into something raw and vulnerable at the end, and John saw the exact moment at which Rodney realized that he was perfectly serious. He hesitated for just a moment, then moved his lips against the cranberry too, both of them hovering for a long, tingly moment in something that only didn't make it to kiss on a technicality, before they moved as one to bite it in half. Rodney pulled back sharply with a splutter, and John's heart sank for a moment before he held up a hand in reassurance. No, I was totally on board with the kissing thing, just... God, I'd forgotten how much I hate cranberries. The 12 Days of Christmas began another round, starting with 5 gold partridges. Oh, Holy Night, Fernando, did a terrible job of harmonizing with it from another corner, and Santa made a sprightly bid for freedom, his elves fending off the pleading hordes with breadsticks. John and Rodney, having mulled over their options in the face of all this, collapsed in laughter for a while, and then with breaths mostly recovered, and only the smallest hints of giggles escaping them, moved together again for a far more satisfactory, if still lightly cranberry-flavored, kiss. They were still kissing when the reindeer knocked the table over in one last hurrah and spilled them out onto a scene of comprehensive destruction and the slumped bodies of those who were just hitting the comatose phase of drunkenness. There would need to be a lot of explanations and one hell of a cleanup later. But for now, all seemed calm again. John had the taste of Christmas, and Rodney, mingling sweetly in his mouth, and the dubious gift of song had finally ceased. Merry Christmas, Rodney. Rodney snorted and took his hand. I have definitely had a lot worse. And they sang Silent Night softly together as the reindeer huddled up against them in a cozy heap of sleep, and stuffing rained down from the skies. The end.